Hey, everybody. Greetings. It is Brother Tupos from DontPerish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, I want to bring you a teaching today. Here's my title. Ready? Jacob Wrestles Who? Jacob Wrestles Who? Yeah, this is an interesting topic, I think. And over the years, I've always believed, early, as an early believer, I believe that Jacob wrestled an angel, just hearing from different people talk about it, maybe not studying it as I should have. And many people talk about this event. I thought I would go ahead and cover it. If you're not familiar, this is where Jacob, who became Israel, father of the nation of Israel, wrestled with someone. He got a wound. He got a new name. He got a blessing. But we're going to focus on who did he wrestle with? And there's some lessons in this, I think. There's some beautiful points in this if we look at this. I think there's some clues in the two places in Scripture that mentions this event. Let's go there. Ready? Genesis 32, verses 24 to 30. And it says this, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So that's the account in Genesis 32. That's the main account where we learn about this. And then it is also mentioned, we'll go back to that in a minute. It's also mentioned in Hosea 12, verses 3 through 5. And it says, and he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength, and he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed, and he wept and made supplication unto him, and he found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us, even the Lord God of the hosts, the Lord in his memorial. So that's the two areas of Scripture that is mentioned about this event with Jacob wrestling. And what I want to bring to your attention is, because we kind of want to focus on maybe identifying who he wrestled with, I want to identify three main things we learned about this person that he wrestled with. Ready? Number one, it's an angel or messenger. Number two, it's a man. Number three, he's called God. Now, you probably know right where I'm going. And it's hard in some of these things to be 100% totally dogmatic, but I'm very confident when I look at Scripture and I look at these proofs I'm going to show you, who in Scripture meets those titles? Someone who's a messenger, someone who's a man, and someone who's God. I offer up to you, it's our Master, Messiah, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me prove it to you right here. Many people have said, oh yeah, it's Jesus, but I very rarely hear people actually explain why they believe it's Jesus with good evidence. I want to give you that so you can have that and use it to edify you. So let me prove it. Number one, a messenger, or oftentimes messengers are known as angels. Hosea says he had power over an angel. That word in the Hebrew is milach. Ready? It means a deputy, a messenger, specifically of God, an angel, a prophet, a priest, a teacher, an ambassador, a king. So it's got many, many different descriptions. And, you know, when you read that account, you just read it, you think, oh, he wrestled an angel. Well, an angel's a messenger. Prophets were messengers. An angel's very different than a prophet. Jesus is very different than just a prophet and an angel. So we got to look at all the details and the context of it. Well, where do we see Jesus called a messenger? Ready? Let's go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi says, "Behold, I will send my messenger," he's talking about John the Baptist there, "and he shall prepare the way for me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, and behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." That's the same word, milhak, and it means Jesus was a messenger. So I prove Jesus is identified in Scripture as a messenger. Let's go to number two, a man. I don't think anybody's going to argue with this point with me. In many places in Scripture, we know Jesus was fully a man. In John 1, we know the Word became flesh. How do you become a man? You got to be flesh, right? Jesus, who always was with the Father from the beginning, became flesh. And many other verses in the Bible. 1 Timothy 2:5, Brother Paul says, "For there's one God, one mediator between God and man, or God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." So Jesus is clearly a man, according to Scripture. Now, some of you might say, yeah, but hold on there, Brother Tupos. Jacob wrestling comes way before the incarnation of Jesus Christ as a physical man. Yeah, I get you, but I kind of anticipated that. Let's read Daniel 3:25. What do we see? We see the three men thrown in the fiery furnace, and then the men that are standing there, what do they say? They answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." So Christ, I believe that was Christ, was taking on the appearance, and other people saw him, looked like a man long before the incarnation. So I think that proves that Jesus Christ is a man and could have been the man that wrestled with Jacob and the messenger that wrestled with Jacob. And let's go to number three, God. Now, most of you listening will say, well, of course Jesus was God. Well, let's talk about this. In Scripture, Jesus did claim to be God. Very clearly, one example, John 8:58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." I am was described before Moses. The Jews picked up rocks to stone him. That was blasphemy. He was calling himself God. And if we go back to Genesis 32, where we learn about Jacob and this wrestling, verse 30 is very telling. Did you catch it when I read it? Here it says, "And Jacob, calling the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So we see there was a messenger, we see there was a man, and we see God himself. I have an article at the teaching blog. Look it up. Jesus is God. Give you a lot more verses about that. So Christ, messenger, man, and God. I believe he matches all of the evidence we see to be the one who wrestled with Jacob. And I think there's two other kind of important verses here. Two other important proofs that it was Jesus. Ready? Jacob was given a new name. I have a question. Who gave key people in the Bible new names? Let's go to Abraham, Genesis 17:5. God says, "Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham." And I believe Christ is the I am. So there you go. He renamed Abram to Abraham. How about Matthew 16:17-18? Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter." So Peter got a new name there from Jesus. So Christ, the great I am, gave men new names. Another evidence that it was Christ who wrestled with Jacob. And finally, Jacob wrestled, And I know what you're probably thinking. You're going to say, well, wait a minute. Jacob won. How does a finite man wrestling an infinite God, how does he win? And he got the blessing. Well, people are going to say, well, Christ lost that struggle to a mere man. That doesn't look good. Or how do you explain that? But I would say to you, did he really lose? Or did he lay down his will for a better cause? Does that sound like something you've heard of? Yeah. Jesus is described in Scripture as coming to lower himself from his throne to lose his life, to become the Lamb of God for us. I'm working through Philippians verse by verse. I did Philippians 2 yesterday. Philippians 2, 7 through 9. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. There you go. Jesus was a man. And being found in the fashion as a man, Jesus a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even in the death of death at the stake, the cross. He died on a stake. 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So I want you to ponder this. Christ's loss, I believe it was Christ who wrestled Jacob. He did it with his will. He laid it down. Why? Why would he do that? Well, it's a win for the nation of Israel because Jacob rose up as their leader, father of their nation. And it's so fitting and so common with who Christ is. What did he also do? He came and he laid down his life. And he lost his life for us, gave up his life for us to defeat death and to shed his blood to cover our sins. You think Christ had to do that? You think he could have not overcome the world? What did he tell us? He said he could bring legions. Ready? Matthew 26:53. Think thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. That's thousands and thousands of angels. Jesus didn't have to do that. He did it because of the Father's will. He laid down his will. I believe he laid down himself for Jacob. And this is just indicative of who God is. And this is that greater lesson that we can learn about this encounter. I think Jacob wrestling with who I think is Christ, it's just another archetype of God in Christ dealing with finite man. I mean, it's pretty clear. It shows the heart of God for his people. He could easily have destroyed Jacob. He could easily destroy you and I. But God doesn't, does he? No. No. Those that will humble themselves and seek his face and seek his ways, he blesses them like he blessed Jacob. And he makes the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, he makes a way for us to be redeemed and have salvation. This is so in God's character and nature. He's a God of redemption. God wants none to perish. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. While he is fire and wrath, he's also love and mercy and grace. But there's conditions to his love and his mercy and his grace. So I don't think it's a stretch to think of Jesus wrestling and losing to Jacob. You know, I want to give you a quick example. It's a kind of a worldly example, but I think it applies. When I was a bodybuilder many years ago, I was a pagan. I used to take martial arts and I was getting kind of good at it. But you know what? I would go against my instructor. The guy was a 2 or 3 time black belt. And I was just working my way up. And you know what? I used to spar with him. Guess what? He didn't clobber me. He didn't beat me bad. You know what he did? He held back and he worked in a way that worked towards helping me to become better at that pagan false way of martial arts. That's not the point. The point is when you're really well versed at something or when you can easily overcome someone, like an adult with a child, you oftentimes withhold your power because there's grace. You have a purpose. You're trying to ultimately help this person. Jesus could have easily destroyed Jacob, but just like he laid down his life for us, he was an example and Jacob learned from that. Last point. I think this is an important one. This could probably be a whole teaching. That hip issue where Jacob ended up with a hip issue and a limp. I think that was God teaching Jacob who was a strong physical man, to not be relying on his own strength, but to rely on the Lord. I think it was a way to humble a physically strong Jacob who was going to become the father of Israel, called Israel. And he needed his faith in God, not his physical strength so much. And that's what we all need. Physical strength, Paul says physical exercise is of little value, but faith in the Father and in Christ is ultimately what we all want to strive for. So I think sometime I might do an article, teaching audio on maybe that hip injury and then how God did that with other people, like with Paul. And God does that. Infirmities holds us back with things, but all things work to good to them that love God, Romans 8, right? So this wrestling event, I think, is just another great example. When you look at it in depth, and I think I've proven that Christ was that one he wrestled, it shows you how good, how merciful, and how loving God is to his people, long-suffering. And he's always looking out for our best interests, even teaching us lessons that may seem hard, and we go about it the hard way, but God always brings it out for his glory and for our good. And that's for those who will repent and obey the gospel born of Christ's blood. It's death, burial, and resurrection, repentance, and they're born by the Spirit of God, and they walk in obedience to his word and his ways, and they strive to endure. That's who God's going to work with, show grace to. That's who is going to enter that covenant and is going to inherit eternal life one day. Wow, glory to our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. What a merciful, loving, wise God we serve. Let's serve him with all that we are, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let's love him, and let's love each other and our neighbors the same way. Hey, thanks for listening in. I hope that edified you. Jacob, who he wrestled, I believe it was Jesus Christ. I believe there's good points and good lessons to be learned from that. Go back, read those scripture verses. Ponder that. Think on it. Maybe you'll come away with even more. Such depth and richness to God's word. I love going through it, and I love sharing it with you. Till next time, the Lord lets me come to you again. We're on the gospel road, getting ready to do some preaching, some more preaching this weekend. We're way up north in a cold, cold climate. Northern Wisconsin, up by Lake Superior, and it's chilly for June, but it feels great. And we're so thankful to be on the road for Christ. Thankful for all you saints that we know and get to communicate with, the brothers and sisters. We love you in the Lord. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Till next time, have a joyous day. May God be praised.